Luke chapter 1:2. Don't start. We're going to go back, and since Gary didn't remember talking about this tower, I want to, in 8 and 9 and 10, we're in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the question is, who were these shepherds? And the Talmud answers it. Now, this was, I'll just read you my notes, and I'm going to read from the Talmud. There was near Bethlehem on the road to Jerusalem a tower known as Migdal Eder, or the watchtower of the flock. Here was where official shepherds watched the flocks destined for sacrifice in the temple. Animals that strayed as far as the tower were still okay for sacrifice. The Jews had a conviction that Messiah was to be born in Bethlehem because of Micah 5, and that he was to be revealed from that tower, the Migdal Tower. Now, so the shepherds then were in the tower watching. They weren't watching their flock, they were watching the flocks destined for sacrifice. Okay?
So there was a specific flock for that?
Well,
and then their flocks?
The sheep could wander around, but they couldn't go past Bethlehem. Let me read it to you. If cattle or the sacrificial animals were found in Jerusalem as far as Migdal Eder, and within a like distance on any side of Jerusalem, the males must be considered as being burnt offerings, but the females must be considered as peace offerings. And Judah says, if they were fit for the Passover offering, they must be considered as Passover offerings, when found within 30 days before the Feast of Passover. Anyway, on and on, we could go on and on about that. So the idea is that these shepherds were officials of the temple, more than likely priests, in one of the courses of the priesthood. And their job was to keep track of the animals that were destined for sacrifice. And if they wandered past the tower, then they weren't eligible for sacrifice. And they had the same thing in all around Jerusalem. Okay? And they were eligible to be considered for sacrifice. Then they were brought into, then another group of priests inspected them to see if they met the standard on the outside. And then they slaughtered them, and if they didn't meet the standard on the inside, then they were put on this vessel. Well, any animal that was destined for sacrifice, if a blemish was found in them, either internally or externally, they weren't used for anything. They could not use them for meat or for clothing or for wool or anything. They had to take them out a particular road to the Dead Sea. And then a millstone was put around their neck, and they were buried. I mean, they were drowned in the Dead Sea. And that's the fate of animals that were destined or considered for sacrifice, but didn't meet the standard because a spot or a blemish was found in them. And the same is true for the church. That's what the whole writings of the church are about, that you may be without spot and blemish, that no part of the garment has been spotted by the flesh. So that's where the fear of God comes in. Our garment and our righteousness and our being right is only Him. If we have opinions and stands about anything else, then our garment has been spotted by the flesh. And we are destined to be taken on a barge out to the Dead Sea and a millstone hanged about our neck. Can you see why maybe the fear of God was the prominent deal in the first century church? Amen? Now I want to, let's go to Matthew 5 a minute. Oh, I wonder if it didn't look familiar. I was in Mark 5. Verse 21. You have heard that it was said by them of old time that thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother Raca shall be in danger of the council, but whosoever shall say thou fool shall be in danger of hellfire. Now what does Raca mean? Anybody have any idea? The literal meaning of Raca is the word empty, of no value.
Like worthless.
Huh?
Calling somebody worthless.
Yeah. Now, let me give you another Talmud story.
That's kind of interesting, because it's God who decides your worth.
Well, the idea is, well, here, you'll... Our rabbis taught a man should always be gentle as the reed and never unyielding as the cedar. Once Rabbi Eliezer, son of Rabbi Simon, was coming from Migdal Gedor. That's another tower for the purpose of the watch. That's how I found this. From the house of his teacher, and he was riding leisurely on his ass by the riverside and was feeling happy and elated because he had studied much Torah. There chanced to meet him an exceedingly ugly man who greeted him. Peace be upon you, sir. He, however, did not return his salutation, but instead said to him, Raca, how ugly you are. Are all your fellow citizens as ugly as you are? The man replied, I do not know, but go and tell the craftsman who made me how ugly is the vessel which you have made. When Rabbi Eliezer realized he had done wrong, he dismounted from the ass and prostrated himself before the man and said to him, I submit myself to you, forgive me. The man replied, I will not forgive you until you go to the craftsman who made me and say to him, how ugly is the vessel which you have made.
It's like facing your sin.
Now, it's not just saying to somebody that they're ugly. It's saying to somebody that in your opinion, they're worthless. And in your opinion, and you say that by judgments. When you judge someone, you are saying in essence that they are worthless.
This is linked to being utilitarian.
Right, the same thing. When you have people at work for you and you treat them in a utilitarian manner instead of from love, then you're saying to them that they have no value. If you go to a checkout stand and you treat the cashier as if she were utilitarian, then you're saying to that checkout stand person, you are worthless, you are empty. You are without value. So in the idea of how quickly, and what happens, that's why tail-bearing is so incredibly evil. Even what you think are good tales. Because again, you've set yourself up above in the temple of God, and you're judging whether something is good or evil.
And it's all about your opinion. Which...
And it's, and if you have an opinion, that means the garment is spotted by the flesh. And you're destined for the Dead Sea. Everybody understand this a little bit?
I can't even say that person is so selfish. This is just like dynamite. There's no righteous place to stay at all.
All right, back to Luke. I don't remember where we stopped yesterday. Does anybody? Can you tell by your notes?
2:11 this day.
Oh, is that what we studied this day?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Oh, yeah. I know where you are.
I got just one little thing here. It's like this whole concept we're just talking about. It's not that God wants you to behave and start acting right toward people. It's not even in the arena. He wants you dead so that he can live.
Right. Empty. He wants you to be a vessel in total humility, without opinion, without, you know, the whole idea that, you know, I'd rather be what's the scripture that says, I'd rather be a slave in the temple of God, or a one who carries the dung, than have an opinion. Well, that's what you are when you have opinions.
Yeah.
Anything in time and space, when you have opinions about it, then you've made yourself. That's like going to Frank Sinatra and saying, oh, you're a great singer. Who in the hell are you to judge him whether he's good or not? You might say, I enjoyed your singing. Or that he's a great player, if you're watching sports. I mean, who are you to judge that kind of thing? I mean, that's the whole idea, that you have set yourself up in the temple of God, showing yourself that you are God, because you sit around and judge, oh, this is good, and that's bad, and this is good, and that's great, and that's no, and that's good, blah, 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 blah. And you are called the son of perdition. Or worse. You are called the child of the devil. But that's all the human race does. Can you see it? That's why we are not to walk as the other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of our minds. That's why opinions and all this crap is just... the garment is spotted by the flesh. Every time you have opinion, it's about something being right, there's a spot in the garment. This must reach some of you somewhere. You must have some response to it. You got to remember,
evil.
It's not the approach you took, it's that you are evil.
Okay, I am evil.
It isn't us, you had an outburst that wasn't like you, it is you are evil.
Yeah, I'm evil and I made it very apparent the other day.
And you can't say, I'll do better next time.
No, you can say, Father, forgive me, and I empty myself in faith before you. Yeah. And every time I have one of these idiotic opinions, it is just as bad as you saying... the explosion you had.
And all the times when I act like a good boy and I'm friendly and I think I'm a nice guy, that doesn't mean anything.
What's an act?
You get no points.
No. It'll benefit you to, if when it's to your benefit you to do good, you'll do good. When it's to your benefit to do evil, you'll do evil. It's every bit of one's life as Adam is utilitarian. It's all an instrument of your own self-realization and opinions and identity of self. Without any merit whatsoever. That's why you hang around with people like you, so you can sit and have a circle jerk about your common opinions. Anybody have any response to any of this? This rant? How'd I get in this rant? John?
I don't know how you got on this rant.
You're supposed to be the rant protector. It's like, what's her name? Paula at the pipe, where I get the pipe tobacco. I wanted her to fix my pipe, and she looked at it, and she says, I'm reporting you to the pipe police. Because I wasn't taking care of my pipe according to her standards. Didn't that sound familiar, what we do? I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to report all cooks to the messy police. Every cook is a mess. They make a massive mess. That's what I said about these guys that are out here doing the road. They're doing a really great job on the road, but they leave a mess beyond comprehension.
Beyond comprehension? It's a little bit of an exaggeration.
Well, I exaggerate sometimes.
Oh, really?
I've done it once or twice in my life.
What hit me in this whole thing is how that everything in the world is designed to oppose this information, this message, this reality. And it's just like there's nothing that isn't trying to pull us away and convince us that if you be good, this will happen. You know, going into the...
I don't think it's the world that's doing that. I think it's your mind that's doing that.
That aligns us in league with the world, whatever. It's all coming against the
knowledge. But we can now look and see the New Jerusalem wherever we look. We see God is all and in all. We see everything as perfection. We see the perfection of His holiness in everything. That's the mystery. Because we have no confidence whatsoever in our opinions about anything. And slowly, the more you repent of those opinions, the more revelation you'll have of Him. You keep having these opinions. We all do it. We have to repent. But that's why you exhort one another daily. Well, it is still called today, so that if you see someone falling into that, you exhort them. Rather than not join them.
The thing about Raqqa, it's not only people that we would judge as worthless, but systems, things, issues.
Oh, it's opinion. Yeah,
The minute we take a stand against anything and call that worthless, we're not seeing God's purpose in it.
Amen.
Or that He may have one.
Verse 11, chapter 2, Luke. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Sign is Samon, which just means an unusual occurrence. But We've studied swaddling clothes and we've studied mangers, so we don't need to go through all that again. But now we're at a biggie. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, and here it says, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Suddenly is the word exiphanes, a sudden, unexpected happening. Let's look at a couple of them. Let's go to Mark 13. This where suddenly is the...
Where am I? I just hear.
13. Verily I say unto you that this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take you heed, watch, and pray, for you know not when that time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house, and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch you, therefore, for you know not when the master of the house cometh, at evening, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. And this is where the fear of God comes. And this is what alters your manner of life. And that's why, you remember, we studied Sunday, or looked Sunday, why Jerusalem was destroyed in the flesh, and why you will be prevented from entering the new Jerusalem. Because you say the vision is for a time far off. So I've got time to do all these things. That rebellion is what has delayed his coming. That's why this night of the last day has lasted over 2,000 years. Amen? I don't feel like talking anymore. Anybody have any response to any of this? Sue, you always get that quizzical look on your face, and then you never say anything. You go like this.
Well, it's because, that is a parallel. She goes exactly like that.
She goes something like that.
That's because I'm forever scratching my head, going back and reading the Bible. And then eventually I get around to saying something in, Bible study.
All right. Anybody have anything else? Everybody understand perfectly, John?
Yeah. Holy, yes. Is that off?
No.
Take a big guy. Because now it's going to be off, so you can speak freely.
Can I have the floor for a minute?